The reading is Ephesians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 7. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Linda. Keep that passage in front of you. Keep your Bibles open at home or Bibles open in the building. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word speaks into all parts of our lives. And we pray now that you would help us to catch your vision for your people here at St. Simon's. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were with us at the annual meeting a couple of weeks ago now, you'll know that over these next 12 months, we are thinking as a church family, what does it mean for us to be a church family that grows? What does it mean for us to be a church family that grows? And we can be a bit nervous about that language of growth, can't we, as Christians, when we think about the church? And we can be a bit nervous about that language because it does sound a bit worldly, perhaps. But I just want to say, right from the start, have a look down at verse 15. If you've got that Bible passage in front of you, have a look down at verse 15. Everyone have a look down at verse 15? Good. Verse 15, Jesus wants his church to grow. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Jesus wants his church, his body, to grow. So the question is, how? How do we grow? How do we grow into the mature body of Christ that he wants? And I guess we can kind of fall into two traps, can't we? We can think, well, it's all about us. And the way the church grows, it's all about us. And so we just need to think, well, how do businesses grow? How does, business, the corporate world grow? We need to think about strategy, and we need to make sure we've got a catchy kind of vision statements, and we need to think about what the dynamics of growth are, and we need visionary leadership. We can think it's all about us. Or we can go to the opposite extreme and say, well, actually, it's all about God, isn't it? And so all that we need to do is to turn up on a Sunday, hear God's word taught, and go home and pray, and God will bring the growth. Two extremes that we can fall into. The key question really we need to be wrestling is how does God, how does Jesus say his church will grow? And the passage we've got in front of us this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, I don't think there's any passage in the New Testament that is clearer on how Jesus wants his church to grow. What is, if we want, the three-step plan that Jesus gives his church for growth? And we see it here this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. You've been with us, we've seen that we are one united people in Christ as a foretaste to the new creation, where all God's people will join together in a renewed creation under Christ. What does it mean now to live, to grow, to become more and more like Christ as his people? Well, look, the first part of that plan, we see in verses 7 to 11, the first part of Jesus' plan for his church, how does he envisage his church to grow? Well, Jesus gives the gift of Bible teachers. Jesus gives the gift of Bible teachers. That's his first step in church growth. Have a look down at verse 7. Paul says, look, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why he says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Paul is saying, look, Jesus is now, he's quoting Psalm 68, and he's saying, look, Jesus now is the king in heaven. He's the enthroned king in heaven. Verses 9 to 10 make this point that Jesus stepped into the world, he descended into the world, he took on flesh, and he died on the cross, and then he rose again, defeating death and sin, and he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and now he's the victorious king in heaven. And just like an ancient king in the Old Testament, after a victorious victory campaign, he dishes out gifts to his people. And those gifts that he gives to the church, he gives many gifts to each of us. But here Paul singles out five gifts that he gives to the church. And they're five people, or five types of people. Now look at verse 11. Jesus has ascended, he's the king in heaven, and what does he give to his people as that victorious reigning king in heaven? What are the gifts? So verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. First of all, some of the gifts that Jesus gives to his people are people. These five people, all to do with word ministry, all to do with actually teaching God's word. Now, the apostles and the prophets, they are specific New Testament people. So we've already seen in chapter 2, verse 20, that Paul says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And in chapter 3, that they have a specific ministry to declare what has been kept hidden. They have God's authority to speak about Jesus and to show Jesus. So we don't really get apostles and prophets today. There's the gift of prophecy, but we're not going to that. But we don't really get apostles and prophets today. They're people like Paul. They're the New Testament writers who spoke and wrote the New Testament. But what we do have today are evangelists, pastors, and teachers, also to do with word ministry, to take the truth, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and to declare it, and to teach God's word. So evangelists, what do? Well, they declare the good news of Jesus from his word. What are pastors, teachers? Probably the same person, actually. Well, they're to be like shepherds who shepherd God's people through his word, through the public preaching of his word, like we're doing now, and through the private encouraging and getting the Bible open with people. See, Jesus says, look, as the victorious king in heaven, he gives gifts to his people, and those are word ministry, Bible teachers. I've just left. I trained at a Bible college called Oak Hill, and when I was there, they were trying to get more people to go and train for ministry. And one of the little resources they produced was this, called the Best Possible Gift. It sounds, you can read it in the wrong way. But it's based on Ephesians 4. It's basically saying, look, if you are going to come and you're going to be a church leader, know that actually you are a gift to the church. Not as in, hi, I'm God's gift to the church. I'm so amazing. But rather that Jesus is saying, I'm giving you to the church to serve the church. And so college was all about saying, look, if you're that gift of a Bible teacher to the church, you better be the best possible gift you can be. As a pastor teacher, as an evangelist, be the best that you can be. Because this is the first step to how God grows his church. He gives you to the church to humbly serve the church through the word. So be the best possible gift you can be. Now, I'm aware, I feel slightly awkward saying this because, in effect, the pastor teacher is the one speaking. But you can pray. And please pray for me. Please pray for Pastor Michael out in Sierra Leone. Please pray for those training at the Evangelical Bible College in Malawi. Please pray for Pete Harvey, curate at Wellfield. Pray that pastor teachers are the best possible gift that they can be as they open up God's word. Pray that they know they are there to serve, not to exalt themselves, but to serve God's people through the opening up of God's word to show Christ. Pray that pastor teachers spend their time rightly. Bishop David Shepherd's school, you know, people have roles in the school, don't they? And you don't want the IT technician teaching Miss Clarkson's year two class. Or you don't want Miss Clarkson, the year two teacher, cooking in the school kitchen. Or you don't want the caretaker leading the governor's meetings. You want them to devote their time and their energies to what they've been employed for. Pray for pastor teachers to devote their time to what they've been given for and appointed for by Christ. To teach his word, to pray, to pastor people. You don't want them spending their time doing things that they're not called for, that God has not given them the role for. Because it's vital to the health of the church. Because Paul goes on, the first step, Jesus gives the gift of Bible teachers. The second step is that those Bible teachers are given, verse 12, to equip everyone else in the use of their gifts. Jesus gives the gift of Bible teachers to equip all church members to serve. Have a look with me at verse 12. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, they're given by Christ, the victorious reigning Christ. Why, verse 12? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The reason that Jesus gives these gifts is so that everyone can be equipped to use their gifts to serve. Jesus gives evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip everyone else to serve. They're not to do all the ministry, these people. They're there to equip everyone else to serve. That is Jesus' plan for how his church grows. That is how Jesus intends us to grow more like him as a church. As we all serve and use our gifts, equipped through the teaching of the Bible. Just think of all the different ways in which people serve in St. Simon's, all the different gifts that God gives to people. That there are the informal gifts, aren't there? There are the formal gifts. The ones that we exercise sort of publicly, the groups that we lead. Think about the PCC. Think about all those involved in the services. Think about those leading the children's work over in the hall. Think about youth in Happy Mondays and Girls Brigade and Boys Brigade. Think about Connect Group leaders and LCF. Think about those who serve helping with the admin and keeping our buildings standing. Those who serve on the welcome team, those who serve cleaning. Think of all the many ways that people serve formally. But then, of course, there are all the informal ways in which we're all to serve, too. The visiting to encourage. The giving of meals, the hospitality, the welcome to the newcomer. The giving financially, praying, phone calls to encourage, the lifts that are given to get people here on a Sunday morning. Simply the ministry of being present on a Sunday morning. We've all got those gifts. And we've all got those roles. And Jesus says his church will grow as we're all equipped to live out those roles. Equipped as his word is taught. Equipped as we're given the desires. We see Christ in his word, as we've seen from Ephesians, and think, yes, I want to serve Jesus and I want to serve his people. Equipped as we see from his word that we're given the power by the Spirit to serve when we don't think we can. Equipped to serve. Equipped to know what to pray for those that we're serving from his words. Do you see? Jesus gives Bible teachers to equip everybody else to use their gifts to serve. You see, church is a team game. Church life is a team game, and everyone has a role to play. It's often said that church is a bit, can seem a bit like a sports stadium. So I have the first picture on the screen. It's often said that church can be a bit like a sports stadium. And people have this impression of church, and maybe particularly the Sunday gatherings. What does it feel like? Well, it feels like the church family and the congregation are all kind of sitting there in the stands, watching a few people do the ministry, a few Bible teachers, a few of those who are particularly gifted. That is not the model of ministry that Jesus gives in Ephesians 4. That is not Jesus' plan for his church. That is not his plan for how his church will grow. Rather, the picture is more like this. The church family, the congregation are the ones all on the pitch. You're all on the pitch doing the ministry, playing the game of ministry. Those Bible teachers, they're the ones almost in the dugout, encouraging, equipping, urging on through the word. And those watching are our non-Christian colleagues and friends and family and community. That is more like the picture, it's not a perfect picture, but that is more like the picture that Jesus gives in Ephesians 4 of how his church is to grow. Everyone is playing the game of ministry. I am not the minister. I am a minister amongst ministers. I'm a pastor teacher, but I'm a minister amongst ministers. We are all ministers. We are all there to equip one another. We are all there to serve one another. You see, each one of us has a vital role to play in St. Simon's. Each and every one of us. Formally, informally. And I want to say it's wonderful to be part of a church family where so many people are serving sacrificially in many ways. I want to say, you know, there'll be people who perhaps maybe kind of even watching at home. Those who, because of kind of stage of life, are not able to serve in the ways in which they once were able to serve. That makes you no less a part of the body of Christ. You serve in different ways. The best thing that anybody can do, the best way that anybody can serve informally, is through praying for the work, praying for us to grow more like Jesus together, praying for us as we serve one another. So please, if you're at home and you think, well, what is my role? You can pray, you can pick up the phone and encourage. See, all of us has a role to play. And it'll be lovely if, in the coming months and years, if everybody has a formal role to play, a formal way of serving at St. Simon's, as many of us do. But you see, what this highlights is as well that there's a danger that we can also slip into a way of thinking about church where we are simply a consumer, simply a watcher in the stands. And all of us can slip into that way of thinking. And I think particularly live stream, that there is a danger with that. Now, I want to say I think live stream is great. I think it's a real gift to us. I think it's a real gift to those who are housebound and really cannot get to the building. I think it's great as a way of people who are looking into the Christian faith going, actually, here's a low-key way I can look into the Christian faith and find out more about Jesus and see what church is like. But we need to acknowledge there's a danger as well, that a danger with live stream on a Sundays, that simply puts us into the mode of consuming and not contributing. That we simply become consumers, that the ministry is done by others as we watch from the stands. And I wonder whether a telltale sign of that is if we begin to think, well, look, it's okay if I'm not around on a Sunday because I can catch up. Live stream's great because actually it gives me the freedom to go off and do everything else that I want to do on a Sunday. Now, again, we're not begrudging people going away on holiday. Like everybody wants to go on holiday, right? That's fine. And actually, live stream gives you a way of connecting even when you're on holiday. But look, if our pattern is, you know, I can go away lots, I can go away and do lots of other things on a Sunday, then that highlights, that's a warning sign for us, that maybe just highlights that we're thinking that we're consumers, not contributors. We think we're watchers in the stands, not players on the pitch. All of us are players on the pitch. All of us. We all have a role to play. And that's a good thing. It's a gift of grace. God brings us into his body by grace, and he gives us ways to serve because he's kind and gracious, and that's good for us. We're going to think a little bit more about what it means to grow in maturity, but we're going to listen to the band as they sing Grace. We are brought into Christ's body by grace. We are given gifts of service by his grace. We don't deserve it, but what a precious thing that we're in his body. Thanks. It's by grace that we're brought into Christ's body. It's by grace that we're given his gifts. Gifts that are people, gifts that equip us all to use our gifts to serve. And why is that? So that we grow more like Jesus. Have a look at verse 13. Verse 12 rather. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Jesus gives the gift of Bible teachers to equip all God's people to serve so that we become mature, Christ-like. What a wonderful thing that is. We all have a role to play in helping one another become like Jesus. What a privilege. We all have a role to play in helping one another become like Jesus. And Paul has in mind the ultimate end goal when we're finally made mature, but it's also a process that we grow in. We become mature in this life. We become mature as a church family in this life. And one of the marks of that is that we won't be deceived, verse 14. As we serve one another to become more like Jesus, then we won't be deceived, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Do you want to be somebody who's not thrown around like a canoe in the Atlantic by every new theological fad? Do you want to be somebody who's not like a canoe in the Atlantic that's almost overturned by every swell of false teaching? Well, Paul says, serve one another then. Serve one another, because that's the path to becoming more like Jesus. That's the path to growing in our knowledge of him, verse 13. And it will mean serving one another informally by speaking the truth in love. Verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Here is a vital example of an informal ministry that enables us all to grow to be more like Jesus. It's a picture here of Jesus as the head, and we're his body, and you want the body to reflect the head. So we've got one of those little children's books at home, and it's a book of animals, and they're split in half, and there's a head on one half and the body on the other, and you can flip over and you can make all sorts of funny animals. And Jesus is saying, don't do that. be the body that reflects the head. We're to be like Jesus because he's our head. And the way that we do that is informally serving one another by speaking the truth in love, which is simply, isn't it, a case of chatting the gospel, chatting the Bible with one another, giving biblical counsel to one another, relating the truths of who Jesus is and what he says from his word to our everyday lives, to the person who's suffering, to the person who's struggling at work, to the person who's finding family life hard or singleness hard. In any and every situation, we're to be those who speak the truth in love to one another. Doesn't mean I speak the truth, I kind of unload everything on you that I'm really annoyed about. No, he's speaking the truth in love, looking to build one another up, encourage one another. And actually, you know, it's why it is so important to gather on a Sunday, because the time after the service, the time on Zoom or outside, is a chance to do that, isn't it? To speak the truth in love to one another. Often we can say our comments on the sermon might just go as far as, well, I thought they handled that passage well, or I didn't really like what was said on that passage. Far better to speak the truth in love to one another. A couple of examples. You might want to say, look, you know we were chatting, weren't we? We were chatting about how you're not really feeling a part of things. I just wonder whether verses 12 and verse 14 from this morning, whether that helps, or whether God is speaking into your life through those verses. Or even it could just be saying, isn't it, look, off the back of this morning, I just want to encourage you. You know, I look at Paul saying, everybody needs to be using their gifts in order to us become mature, and I see that in you. Isn't it wonderful? I see that how you're, I see that how Linda and Robert, how you're working hard to make sure the building is open and using those practical gifts of service so that we can meet together. I'm just really encouraged by that. Or it might be even a little more kind of dangerously for us. It might be saying to somebody, look, you know, we've been talking, I've been struggling lately. How do you see any ways from this morning that God might be speaking into my life? Do you see things in my life that I'm not seeing? And is God speaking into my life from his word this morning? Can you help me with that? And notice in there, Paul says we in verse 15. And Paul knows that he's got to grow to maturity. He says we will grow, speaking the truth in love. I need you to speak the truth in love to me as well. Okay? And we all need to become mature. We all need to speak the truth in love to one another. I need you to be speaking the truth in love to me, just as you need me to be speaking, and everyone else to be doing that as well. Because that's the path to maturity. Pastoral care in the church is a joint effort. We all pastor one another in one sense, as we speak the truth in love to one another. I hope we've grown in that over the last year. It can be a bit daunting to do that, and so over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to give you some questions. I'm just at the end on the screen. Very simple question this morning. It's not on the screen. Let's start easy. Very simple question maybe you want to say to one another. It's just simply, how did God speak to you this morning? Is there a particular way that God spoke to you this morning from his word? That's just a really simple question, isn't it, to ask? It doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to be awkward. But just to get the ball rolling. Because that's what we're to be doing. That's Jesus' plan for how his church will grow. That's one of the informal ways as we speak the truth in love to one another. And finally, let me end with this. Verse 16. When we're doing that, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part, as every part, does its work. And if we're to grow, every part is to do its work. Every single one of us is involved in ministry here at St. Simon's. Formally, informally. Every part will do its work. So Paul says to us, will you commit to that work? I realise at the end of 12 months of exhaustion of COVID, this might just seem like, oh, I've got some more things to do. Or maybe it's over these last 12 months we've actually committed our time elsewhere. What better way is there to use our time and our gifts and the things that God has given us than by seeking Jesus' glory as we seek one another's good, as we seek to serve one another, as we seek to build his body here, as we seek to grow together in maturity. So my question is, will you commit to that? Will you commit to that? Will you be a part that does its work at St. Simon's? You are a member of the body. Will you be a part that does its work? Will you commit to be here on a Sunday morning as much as you can, so we can speak the truth in love and build one another up? Will you commit to serve in some formal way if you're not doing that? Maybe for some it means actually doing less. And maybe it means I'm doing 14 formal things and actually what I need to do is less, so I can do what I'm doing better and allow other people to serve. Will you be somebody who commits to do all that informal ministering? Because that is how we will grow. It's not my plan for how the church grows. It's Jesus' plan. And he tells us here. So will you commit to that? As part of his body, will you be equipped to serve through the teaching of his word? Will you serve one another? Will you serve me? Will you serve together? Let me pray.